Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The government shutdown and the debt ceiling standoff in Washington, D.C. are over for now. What does one Iowa senator think about it? Let's go in-depth with Senator Chuck Grassley, New Hartford.
Senator, does it feel good to have the debt ceiling impasse and the budget shutdown behind you?
It sure does. And the only bad thing about it doesn't feel good to be in Iowa right now. You know, people back home felt we didn't accomplish much during the 2 weeks of the shutdown. The shutdown was bad enough in itself. And then to have Senator Reid announce at 8 o'clock Wednesday night that we weren't going to meet this week, and you can't set up a schedule of town meetings on such short notice, I feel that people will see again that we aren't doing anything. And with the Defense Authorization Bill and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and the Energy Bill and the Farm Bill still not done, I feel like we're wasting a whole week being in our state and not being in Washington, D.C. in session. But Reid runs the Senate, and if he chose not to run the Senate this week, that's where we are.
Well, would you explain your vote on the debt ceiling, whether or not to move that or not? There's a lot of people that aren't exactly happy with not only the split in the Republican Party, but also the vote against raising the debt ceiling. Could you explain your vote?
Well, yes. I think that I wanted to follow the pattern of August the 2nd, 2011, and we're still under the sequester, as we call it. We made a decision then that for every $1 increase in the national debt, we ought to have $1 decrease in future spending. And that adds up to about $2 trillion that we're taking out of future spending. And that wasn't done in this particular instance. Besides, there was even set up a conference committee to see if we could compromise on the sequester. And I feel that we're doing what hasn't been done since the Korean War. We've had back-to-back reductions in expenditures. In other words, 2013 was less than 2012, and 2014, if we move ahead under the sequester, will be less than 2013. And with $17 trillion national debt and going up, we should have done the same thing, and hence my no vote.
But how about not paying the government's debts? That was, from what I've read, that could have led to a government catastrophe. And I'm wondering if you really wanted to, I guess, default on those debts. I'm not using the right word, but not pay those debts. And what
you're using the right word. The only thing is that you're leaving out the fact that 84 cents on every dollar that we spend comes in taxes, and that's and that total spending is $3.5 trillion. And if we have about, let's say, just roughly $3 trillion coming in taxes, and you're only paying $250-some billion a year in interest, we can pay interest on the national debt and still not default, or at least we wouldn't be defaulting if we paid interest on the national debt. Now, that does require some prioritization of other expenditures, but it surely is something that can be done and has to be done even under sequestration. And it wouldn't mean that forever you'd be doing that, because eventually you're going to reach an agreement to make sure that the borrowing authority of the federal government goes ahead.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley.
Well, the national media was certainly, and all of the national media that I read, including the Wall Street Journal, most of the pieces that I read were treating it like it would be an economic catastrophe if we went over that, if we didn't raise the debt ceiling. And you're saying it wouldn't have been?
There's still good economists that said what I just said. You can pay interest on the national debt and you're not going to have default. Now, is it an ideal situation? No, heavens no, it's not. It probably shouldn't have been there in the first place, but we shouldn't have $17 trillion national debt either. This president's doubled it since he's, or I shouldn't say doubled it. It's gone up $5, $6 trillion since he's been in office. And he was complaining in the 2008 election, when he was elected, that Bush was irresponsible of having a $9 trillion national debt. Well, isn't it much more wrong to have a $17 trillion national debt?
Well, now, perhaps you can enlighten me with this, with respect to this. I was reading in the Wall Street Journal in their Market Watch that spending is down proportionately, the debt is down proportionately over what it has been in like 60 years. Is that wrong? That was in Wall Street Journal's Market Watch column the other day.
I read the Wall Street Journal. I don't recall reading that story, but I think this is what you're saying, and I think it's probably right from this standpoint, that you can measure the national debt by the dollars of $17 trillion, or you can measure it as a percent of the gross national product, and it has leveled off and come down a little bit, and the annual deficit can be measured the same way. And when this president came in, I guess it was probably after the sequester money was borrowed, it was about 10% of gross national product, and I think it's down to about 5% of gross national product now, the annual deficit is. So yes, progress is being made. And if you look at it as the Congressional Budget Office looks at it, it'll continue to go down maybe until about the year 2017, but then it starts shooting up again. And a better way to look at it is that as a percent of gross national product, the national debt has been about 40% when this president came in, and it got up to 80 or 90%. It's down a little bit into the 70 percentile now, but it's still twice what the 50-year average is. And if you look at the national or the annual deficit, a 50-year average would be about 3%. And I said now it's 5%, but it was up to 10%. So, yeah, progress is being made, but it's kind of short-term progress because Congressional Budget Office charts would have it shooting way up after about 2017, I think.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley.
Okay, well, let's move to something I know a lot of our listeners are interested in, and that is the farm bill. It seems like we've been talking for years about the non-passage of a farm bill. It has been a long time, hasn't it?
Well, we've been talking about it for 2 years, because we've been involved in reauthorizing it for 2 years. It's only been 1 year that it's lapsed. Now going into the second year labs, but we're in conference now, a place where we weren't a year ago, because the House never passed a bill a year ago. So now the House has passed their bill, we passed our bill. There's 12 senators and 17 congressmen sitting down in a conference committee to work out the differences. The differences on the farm bill are fairly I would say, fairly minute. There might be people disagree with that. But compared to the problems of the nutrition and the food stamps, the farm bill is going to be a lot easier to compromise than the nutrition part of it. The difference is not complicated with the nutrition. It mostly deals with the amount of money to spend, but it's a big difference between the $40 billion that the House saves and the $4.5 billion that the Senate saves. Now, normal compromise would be split the difference, but I think it's going to be very difficult to get a bill through the Senate that saves $20 billion on food stamps. But also, you got to remember that the House defeated a bill that had only $20 billion saving, and so that's why they jacked it up to $40 billion. So where you find that compromise, I can't tell you, but I think that's going to be more difficult than anything in the farm portion of the bill.
And they are still connected or not?
They're still, technically they're separate in the House, connected in the Senate, but when it comes out of conference, they'll have to be connected or you won't get a bill through.
You won't get either the rural part of the farm bill or the more urban part of the SNAP program passed without both of them.
It's been that way for 40 years, and I expect it's going to continue to be that way.
Okay, Senator, could you explain to us some of the rise of popularity of Ted Cruz? That must, perhaps not on you, but perhaps on some of the senior leadership in the Senate, for a freshman senator to get all of this national press. What can you attribute that to, and is there a reason for that, do you think?
Well, there is, as you know, just general disapproval of Congress as a whole. And then among grassroots conservative people, the opposition to Congress, and particularly to the president, is very, very intensive. And then you couple that with the fact that compared to 20 years ago when it was only NBC, ABC, and CBS, it's now all those plus all of the television channels that have different political philosophies and all the talk radio. This country is very divided at the grassroots, and that division is reflected in the Congress, and it happens that the conservative tends to be more intense. And Senator Cruz and Senator Lee reflect that and were willing to put it to action. And that action was what happened in the last 2 weeks. But they're reflecting views that people are dissatisfied with the way the government's functioning.
I guess I'm thinking that some of the more senior people, like yourself, might be thinking, and I'm sure you'll tell me if I'm wrong, you might be thinking, is who is this punk kid and what does he think he's doing?
Well, the trouble is, I can think that, but they have a different constituency than what I represent, and if they feel that, like Senator Cruz was just elected, he probably run on the platform of doing what he's doing, and that he has a responsibility once in office to do that. So he wants to take on the crusade of defunding Obamacare. Well, then add to that that every Republican in the Senate has voted against Obamacare or pledged to repeal it. And even though it doesn't end up being defunded, and maybe he is still in the minority in the United States Senate, it doesn't mean that there isn't some sympathy for what he wanted to do based upon the fact that Obamacare, as you can tell from the president's going to give a speech today about how the website's not working and how it's leading to a lot of part-time employment and a lot of other things that people feel it's not good for the country. You add that together, and it gives a senator like Cruz a lot of power and attention. But it starts with his own campaign and his own constituency.
So I guess I have to ask you, is this split in the party that came out on, you know, on the vote the other day, do you think this is good or bad for the Republican Party and then for the nation?
Well, it surely is bad right now, because where we were standing so high with the population, we were almost even with the Democrats, maybe even a little bit ahead on some issues until October the 1st. And when 70% of the people want you to concentrate on jobs in the economy, and we had our attention on that, we were riding high. And that was the essential issue in the default issue and the budget issues to keep government running, but they got obscured by the defund Obamacare. And the public at large wants less spending, but they don't want to, and they don't like Obamacare, but they don't want the government shut down, and they didn't see the connection between Obamacare and what was going on the fiscal issues, and the fiscal issues got lost. Now, if the fiscal issues can rise to the surface again, now that government's functioning, and the defunding Obamacare is not the primary issue, you know, we might be able to regain it. But we're going to have to concentrate on what the public wants, and that's jobs and the economy.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.